From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergood Odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate. Ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today. And it's all about Wonder Godot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Jude Feld.
Good morning, HRN Nation, wherever you may be. This is Jude Feld, and I'm at Gulfstream Park this morning for the kickoff of the Claiming Crown, our broadcast today. My special guest host, Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and we've had a good time down here the last day or so. Beautiful weather. We're out of the snow.
It's great weather. Out of the rain. A little damp in Kentucky today.
Yeah, well, we're here. It's kind of a gray morning, but there are some patches of blue. It's not supposed to rain here today. Weather it will be great. The track will be fast. The turf will be firm. And just a fantastic card today to kick off the championship meet here at Gulfstream. We've got quite a show lined up. In about 15 minutes, we're going to have Billy Badgett on. He's the general manager of Gulfstream, and he's going to talk about today's events and the events of the championship meet. There's nobody that works harder at Gulfstream Park than Billy Badgett, and looking forward to talking to him for a while. We've got an interview that Jeff Bloom did with Gary Stevens about his retirement. That'll be coming up right after the 9 o'clock hour. We've also got a couple of trainers to talk about their horses. Robert Falcone, who's got Aquaphobia in the Emerald, and then George Navarro, who's got three horses in the Jewel, Flowers for Lisa, Aztec Sense, and Zulu. And Jorge Navarro, one of the top trainers here in Florida for many years. We've also got the president of the National HBPA, president and chairman Leroy Gessman. He's going to come on and talk about Claiming Crown as well.
We were actually out to dinner last night with Eric and Leroy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Great guys.
So you had a good time. You went to Runway 84.
Runway 84. It's a must stop when you can. Yeah, you guys ruined me for life by taking me there.
Yeah, that's a Florida staple and a place that a lot of people like to go. It's kind of a landmark restaurant.
I have a hard time leaving the airport and not going north.
Yeah. Well, we went to Sardelli for my wife Gretchen's birthday, and that was a good time as well. So lots of good places to eat down here in South Florida, and it's always a fun trip. We've got a poll question for you today, and that question is going to be, which trainer will win the most Claiming Crown races today? And we're giving you three choices: Mike Maker, Jorge Navarro, and Jason Service, and then a fourth choice of other. And if you pick other, please specify who you think is going to have the best day today. Mike Maker is usually the favorite in the clubhouse, but he's only got six running this year. Usually he has about 12.
That's true. It is hard to vote against him, though.
Yeah, so he's quite a clever guy when it comes to this stuff, and he plans for it all year long. So have you gone over the Claiming Crown card?
I have somewhat, and I think the part that stands out to you the most is, you know, there's horses coming in from all over the place.
Right.
And I really think that it's going to be an interesting day, because I'm not so sure. I think you're going to have some big payoffs today.
Yeah,
I really think there's going to be some surprises.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're big fields.
Big fields.
And that's one of the keys, because the horses are going to need to get good trips.
Absolutely. And it's a nice, you know, I mean, as you, well, you know, Red Brand aligns itself pretty tightly with Aftercare, the TAA, and Old Friends Farm. I'm on the board at Old Friends. And, you know, from the standpoint of the older horses, it's nice to see the claiming horses get a day in the sun, too. So, you know, this is a special day. It's a neat day, and it's nice that it continues.
Yeah, it's an amazing concept. This is the 20th.
Yeah, that's what Eric was saying.
And I remember when it first started, my friend Nat West, who was a publicity guy at Hollywood Park for many years and just a wonderful guy, you know, he worked tirelessly to get this thing off the ground, and it's just amazing how far it's come. I mean, people look forward to it, people plan for it, trainers try to get horses qualified for these races, they try to claim horses that might already be qualified. So it's not just everybody shows up with their claiming horses, you know, when the day Gulfstream Park opens, which has also been a really nice addition to have Gulfstream Park on board, because they support the claiming crown, and then of course they have the Clásico del Caribe next week. So the first 2 weeks, they have two really nice events to you know, get the crowd going on Saturday for the championship meet as we head into next year in the Pegasus, of course.
But they really do. It's a great day all the way around. I mean, for the horsemen, there's some great purses. For the, you know, players, there's some good prices. You know, it's really, you know, they do an excellent job. And obviously the facility here, for anybody who hasn't been to Gulfstream, you owe it to yourself to come. It's one of the premier tracks, in my opinion, in the world. I mean, I'm a West Coast guy. I have, you know, kind of lean towards Santa Anita and Del Mar. But outside of those two, this is really a premier location. I mean, I really love Gulfstream.
Yeah, I always enjoy coming here. And the thing that's always impressed me about Gulfstream Park is the fact that there's something going on all the time.
And there's something for everyone.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a key. This is really important. I think it's good for the sport that it appeals to people on every level of interest, because of the, you know, there is shopping, there are some fabulous restaurants, there's shows, there's a casino, there's anything you could think of here, as well as some of the top horse racing in the world.
Yeah, I was really surprised, because we got here Thursday. There was no racing this week. It was
Florida's
week off. So every day, though, the bar here, Joker's Wild, where we're broadcasting directly across from, there were people at the bar, there were people at the casino, there were people betting simulcasting. A lot of these tables were full, and everybody watching the races on television. There's like a bank of you know, a dozen TVs with tracks all over the place, and it was a dark day.
Yeah,
supposedly a dark day at the track, right? And there had to be up here just on this second floor alone. There had to be at least a couple hundred people playing the horses and watching, and then the casino visitors and stuff. So, I mean, and that's on a dark day Thursday, you know. And yesterday was much the same. Actually, I think there were more people here yesterday. Probably people that had arrived for the claiming crown.
Yesterday it was busy. You would have thought it was a race day.
Yeah,
there was that
many
people walking around. I came through in the afternoon to pick up a program and do some studying, and it was really impressive. And I think one of the things that Strange Group has done is they have made this a destination place. You know, people come here for multiple reasons, but there's enough things here to hold them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a great concept, and it was not unusual, but several years ago when they first opened the new Gulfstream, I was walking across the street from the Hampton Inn, and a man and his wife got out of the car, and it was Florida Derby Day, and she was going to the mall. She had
nice.
Wanted to do some shopping, and she brought her husband along, and so he says to her, you know, he says, today's the Florida Derby. He said, would you mind if we you know, cut the shopping a little short and come over and watch the race? She goes, no, that'd be fun, you know. And right then and there, it struck me what a great concept it was, because here's this guy, you know, he probably didn't really want to go shopping at the mall, but now he's going to get to see the Florida Derby, and his wife's happy to do it because he came with her, you know. So it's that synergy that just works here.
Absolutely.
At Gulfstream. And it's the same with families with kids. They come here, there's all kinds of things for kids to do. There's a bowling alley here.
And it really is on every level. One of the things that I think they've done an excellent job of throughout the facility, the village, as they put it. They have things for every price point and every age group.
Right.
So there's everything from fine dining to New York pizza and playgrounds for kids and the casino. So, I mean, you really have something for everyone. The beauty of it is, to your point, I really think facilities like this expose a lot of people to our sport, which is something, as you know, that we need.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when guys like us are the young guys, that's not a good thing. So.
Yeah, some of us are younger than others. But I agree. We need all the help we can get, and we're just happy to be here for this. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3, and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Three quarters, 1:10-1, and they're at the top of the stretch. Gunrunner set down for the drive by Florent Giroux. He leads by two. West Coast, the only one with a chance. He's second. Well clear of the others. A battle on for third with Fear the Cowboy coming on. Gunrunner needs another 16th. It's Gunrunner in front. He'll go out a winner. He's the horse of the year, and he's Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup. He won by two over West Coast second. The local horses did well. Gunavera got third. Fear the Cowboy was fourth. And the final time was 1:47-2. Gunrunner.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld, and I'm down at Gulfstream with Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, and looking forward to the claiming crown today.
We're excited about it.
Yeah, we sure are. It's going to be a fun day. I told you Billy Badgett was very busy man. Well, he hasn't arrived yet for his interview.
I guess they'll just have to listen to us a little bit longer.
Well, we'll do some improvising here. We saw Billy last night at dinner, happened to be at the same restaurant that we were, and he said 8:15 was not going to be too early for him. I guarantee you he's not in bed. He's probably around here working somewhere. So Maybe we'll...
His car was here, so I'm pretty sure he's on the grounds.
Yeah. Oh, you even know what kind of car he drives. I'm impressed.
Hey, I am a first-class stalker in this industry. That's all I got.
Well, while we're waiting for Billy, we can talk a little bit about the Emerald. And the Emerald's got a fantastic field. And one of the participants is Robert Falcone Jr., who's a young trainer who's really had a great year. And he's one of those guys that just a really nice young man who works really hard. He's winning at a 27% clip this year, and the horse he has entered in the Emerald is Aquaphobia, owned by Drawing Away Stable. And this horse has been tremendously consistent this year at all different levels, and we were talking about it a little bit yesterday. He went from a $25,000 starter race into the Knickerbocker. So that's like a grade two at Belmont from a 25 starter at Kentucky Downs. A little bit ambitious, but today he's back in with his friends, and he should do quite well. And here's what Robert Falcone Jr. had to say about Aquaphobia.
Aquaphobia, a horse you claimed back in September of 2017. A ton of success, over 163,000 alone this year. One of the favorites in that Emerald.
Yeah, he turned out to be a good claim for us. And we hopefully, he keeps going on with it.
Yeah, won a minor stakes Super Bowl Sunday out at Santa Anita last year with him. Enough for you to stretch him out in that grade two San Luis Rey. A little out of his element on the front end that day. Still ran pretty well. Beat just nine lengths that afternoon. How long was the feeling out process with him? I mean, you got him to the winner's circle in just your second start in that Super Bowl, but, you really got him going, had him going well a majority of this year.
Yeah, he fit into the barn quite well. He settled in nicely, got into the program, no problems. And, the one day we ran him in the San Luis Rey out in California when he ended up, going to the league by himself, that wasn't the plan, unfortunately. But things don't always work out the way you want them, especially in this game. And he was actually he was a little bit too cranked up that day as well. He was walking around the paddock more cranked up than he usually was. And he just, he wanted to go from the jump. So Corey did the best job he can with him, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But he came back to win a couple times after that, and that's that.
More often than not on this day, on Claiming Crown Day, and Gulfstream again this year, and it's the opening day of the meet, you see a nice mix of horses. You certainly, in the Emerald at the very least, have the one that I think if you said, who's the class of this field, you'd point to Aquaphobia. Made you look Expector Lindley, Almanar, Ticonderoga, Ticonderoga again, Black Type High, Happy Inspector Lindley. Man, he has really banged heads with some tough stakes horses throughout this year.
Yeah, he has. In those allowance races, as you know, in Saratoga, Belmont, they come up pretty tough, especially facing that Chad Brown duo. Almanar came back to almost win the Arlington Million, I believe, right?
Yeah.
That was the race he finished second in, yeah. So he was definitely knocking heads with some tough horses and those allowance races and a couple of stakes we tried him in. And he's held his own well for a 25 claimer, definitely. So we're proud of how good he's done, and hopefully you keep it going.
Got the win, too, over that quirky course of Kentucky Downs, two starts back. It seems to me, though, Rob, he does a lot better. I know Speed Figures might not agree with this, but looks to me like he appreciates when there's a firm ground underneath his feet, and down at Gulfstream Park, he should get that.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. You could kind of even actually both drops. You know how it was in New York recently, too, when he ran in the Knickerbocker. That turf course is getting pretty pretty beat up. Took a lot of hits to it. And, Corey that day, and when he ran in the San Luis Rey and IRAD, they kind of came back the same way. They said, he definitely didn't care, for the grass course that day.
Nick Juarez just going to let him work out his usual trip, that mid-pack, make the one run?
Yeah, that's going to be the plan. Hopefully, the only thing you worry about in a field this big is I love the post position, in the middle of the pack. That's good going into the first turn. You just hope in a field this big you kind of don't get shuffled back and, you end up having to pass, 11, 12 horses. It's tough to do with a field size this big. But it looks like there's speed inside and outside of us. So hopefully he just break and Nick could get him in a good spot and he comes running late.
Good luck, brother. Thanks for some time today.
Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, that was Robert Falcone Jr. with Anthony Stabile talking about his chances with Aquaphobia. And now the busiest man at Gulfstream has arrived, Billy Badgett. I told him you were busy.
Good morning, and guys. That's all right.
How's
always,
it going?
Always time for you guys. Absolutely. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a yeoman's job here. You've got all kinds of things going on, and this is probably the busiest week of the year for you, huh?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we always look forward to, obviously, opening day and certainly the Caribbean, Claiming Crown and then on to the Caribbean Classic. So the first week's tremendous, and tremendous participation from the horsemen, which always helps. The fields are big. It should be a great day today.
Yeah, perfect weather. And that's got to be a really cool way to open the meet with the Claiming Crown and the Clásico del Caribe all within, you know, 8 days.
Right, basically. Yeah. That's, it's, well, we learned a lot from the Caribbean Classic last year. We were actually a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of people that showed up. And with the addition of the North Tiki being finished this year, the addition of that will, you know, enhance the crowd a little more. So we're looking forward to that. And then we have the addition to the now new Flamingo Room upstairs, which would be a tremendous place for events. And so we're looking forward to really enhancing the grounds of the area and upgrading the racing. And we also have a brand new turf course out there, which is really going to help for the future. And so we're looking forward to bigger and better things.
Several of the horsemen have commented about how great the turf looks. You guys did a phenomenal job on that. You look really excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was overdue. And, you know, now the format's definitely changed over years and years and years. And, you know, it's almost 50-50 with turf and dirt, you know. And obviously, people love betting on the turf races.
It's
larger fields, so the handle rises. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot different. You trained horses for many years and were very successful at it. And in the old days, like if you had a slow horse, you'd run them on the turf. Now it's a whole different kettle of fish. I mean, you see these horses coming over from Europe, and they're so good, and people have become big fans of a lot of the turf horses. So. And that, when you think of Gulfstream, you always think of the great turf racing during the winter, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you brought up, because when I was training, you came down here with a turf horse with a maiden. You were lucky to run him one time. You got excluded, you got excluded, you got excluded. You might have run the last part of the meet. You know, there's 97 entered, and that's when they only had like a, you know, one maiden special weight turf race maybe every 2 or 3 weeks. Now it's, you know, the game's changed, you know, and everybody, you know, wants to. We have people that enter turf only with first-time starters. So yeah. You know, it's a different era, and it's good for racing, you know, gives everybody a chance. And it, certainly for our year-round product, it broadens the scope of races for the guys that are stay here year-round with the $15,000, $20,000, $16,000 horses. Gives everybody a chance.
Yeah. Well, you know, isn't that one of the hallmarks of the Stronach Group and the way that Gulfstream does things is change with the business? Isn't that what their focus is?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, one of when Tim Rippo came and took things over and just, you know, broadened everything up, and when we had to, we came to, you know, year-round racing here and 240 days of racing a year, you had to kind of do something, and he was quick to, you know, broaden the turf racing out and giving everybody a chance.
So, the spectators love turf racing. You can tell. You talk to the fans, whether they're a novice or a seasoned handicapper, everybody loves turf racing.
Right, right. Well, when you go to handicap the races, as you guys well know, it's 2, 3, 4, 5 horses that have a chance in the race.
Right. And a lot of times the finishes are tight. You know, they all end up together at the end, and
right.
It makes for an exciting race, and hopefully you're on the right end of the photo.
Exactly.
So we got Pegasus coming up, too. Talk about that a little bit, the new turf race.
Right, right. That's, I think it's tremendous. We had talked about it, you know, bringing in a turf race kind of after we got our feet wet with the Pegasus. And so, you know, we've already gotten quite a few people interested in the turf race already. I think it's going to be a full field. We got people coming from Europe. We might have a Japanese horse in the race. So, yeah, it's, you know, and still at the same token, still putting the $16 million up for two races.
Yeah. So it's going to be a bigger and better event this year than ever before.
Oh, without a doubt.
You've had some good ones already.
Yeah.
Eric David Gunrunner every year.
That's pretty.
Yeah, with having those two horses in your first inaugural race. And this year, I think it's even a little bit better because it broadens up. It gives a lot more horses a better chance in the dirt race for sure. And then we'll see who shows up for the turf.
And then quite possibly the best road to the Kentucky Derby comes through Gulfstream. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Our series for the prep for the Derby has become phenomenal. Obviously, the Florida Derby has become a great prep race for everybody. And there's certainly people ship in from all over the country to go in that race, as it's become such a popular race for the Derby.
Yeah, no, it's something that everybody looks forward to. I think that series of races is spectacular, and whoever comes out of the Florida Derby is always respected when they get to Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the horsemen always look forward to it down here. You have the weather on your side, too. You really don't miss much of a beat.
Right. Does this guy know the general manager's on the air?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll have my hair dry in just a minute, and then I can go back to the show.
That's great. What other things have you got going outside of the racing for fans? Are you still doing the breakfast on Saturday and all of that?
The breakfast is open this morning, actually. We're down there. Yeah, everybody looks forward. It's already got a big crowd down there already.
That's great.
Yeah, we look forward to the breakfast. Everybody likes it. Like I said, there's quite a bit of crowd down there already.
It's great for the kids, right? Expose them to the track.
Yeah.
And they get to ride a pony.
Have the pony down there. Some animated characters show up and get T-shirts and shirts and giveaways.
I think it's good for the industry. It exposes a lot of people to it, draws people. And that's something you guys have done a phenomenal job of, is bringing people to the sport that otherwise probably never would have seen it.
No, without a doubt. And then we have the tram tour for the backsides. Very, very popular. We started off with one tram a day. Now we're up to three a day.
Wow.
35, 40 people on each one. So that's enhanced people coming out for the mornings too.
Yeah, I think that's great because people need to see how good the horses are taken care of. You know, there's so many bad stories out there that aren't true. I mean, you and I know how it is on the backside. The horses get treated better than the rest of us.
No, without a doubt. Yeah.
And so I think that's a great feature to be able to show people, hey, these horses, they live the best life that they can back there, and it's really good to play that up.
And last year we had a guy like Hollywood Herb McCauley doing the announcing on the tram, bringing some ambiance to the tour and everything. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Herbie's great. He's done some broadcasts with us, and I always enjoy working with him. Yeah. He's got some great stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
For an ex-jockey, he's not afraid to say, boy, that guy rode that horse terrible. Well, we appreciate your time this morning.
My
I know you're
pleasure,
busy.
Guys. Yep.
So thanks for stopping by, and best of luck with the meet. I know it's going to be a great one.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm going to get this guy to turn off this vacuum, too. So all right, thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Billy. Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Billy Badgett, general manager of Gulfstream Park. Now it's time for the Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington each and every week. And here you go.
This lady had a wealth of character, a marvelous, vibrant personality, and she was indeed an inspiration to others. She was a lady through and through, and in the roaring 1920s, while still in her 20s, she entered the world of racing as the owner of a steeplechaser. A racing stable, Brookmead, came into existence a few years later. She was adverse to pomposity and took great delight in needling and openly deflating an obvious inflated ego. Her infectious sense of humor provided her the tool for doing so, especially evident in times of stress. Perhaps equally as synonymous with Brookmead Stable and its success were the names of Preston and Elliot Birch, who trained her horses. Preston began training for Our Lady of the Moment in 1944, and on October 21st of that year, he saddled her Dear Me for her in the Maryland Handicap at Laurel. Dear Me whipped the redoubtable Twilight Tear by 7 lengths in that affair, and that was Birch's first of a long, long list of stakes winners he saddled for Brookmead. Birch was very patient with young horses, and he and our subject probably received more thrills from a horse named Sailor than any other racing in her colors. That was in the decade of the 50s, while others racing in her colors included Sword Dancer, Bowl of Flowers, and Oligarchy. Her superb Flower Bowl won the Delaware Handicap in 1956, and on May 2, 1959, Sword Dancer won the Derby for her, while on the very same day, Big Effort won the Bed of Roses at the old Jamaica racetrack on Long Island. In 1934, Our Lady of the Day, as it were, became the very first woman in American turf history to lead the winning owners list. Her Bowl of Flowers was voted Philly Champion of 1960 and 61, and Sword Dancer was voted Horse of the Year in 1959. This marvelous lady dearly loved the thoroughbreds, and among the many greats carrying her silks to the winner's circle, she considered her best to have been Cavalcade, Sailor, Sword Dancer, and Bowl of Flowers. But she had a very soft spot for others, including Okapi, Sunglow, and High Quest. In 1934, and 16 years later in 1950, Brookmead was the leading money-winning stable in America. From 1925 until her demise in 1962, her horses won 1,144 races. As previously indicated, her trademark was her love for and the ability to jest with her trainers, the Birches. Before big races, she would often break the tension in the paddock by saying, for example, quote, "Do you think I should put on the blinkers today?" Or, quote, "Now you haven't put that saddle on right." When her jockey would appear, she could be heard to say, quote, "Now, Preston, you step back. I'm going to give the order on how to ride this horse today," with a twinkle in her eye, of course. And she would go on very solemnly to say, quote, "You just go on out and win this race today." If it was muddy, she would be quite apt to say, "Now, don't you dare get my colors dirty today." Yes, this grand lady, and that she was, in every sense of the word through and through, held to the sporting ideals with the best characterized racing to its very best, both in victory and defeat. The mistress of Brookmead Stable, and the subject of this piece, Isabel Dodge Sloan.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Camelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
California Chrome not gaining. He's back wide and racing in fifth. Shaman Ghost splits horses for Jose Ortiz, and they're into the stretch, and it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrogate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back fourth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5 while confidently handled. Shaman Ghost second. Neolithic third. Then Keen Ice, War Story, and Noble Bird in 1:47.3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. That was Pete Aiello on the call of the inaugural Pegasus here at Gulfstream Park, and that was a race I will never forget. It was just outstanding, and kind of ironic for Mr. Stronach that his horse ran second.
What
are you going to do? I mean, Arrogate was such a sensational horse, and I still say that of all the horses that I've seen run in person, his Travers was the most incredible race I've ever seen a horse run in person.
He was a phenomenal horse, just a freak of a horse. I mean, Bob, as you know, I mean, we're Team Baffert, so we're a little biased, but, I mean, Bob just has a gift to be able to pull the talent out of an animal. You know, it seems like an instinct for him to figure out where a horse needs to go, and he does such a good job. And, you know, Arrogate was a perfect example of a horse that, you know, he wasn't the easiest horse, but he really was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, he ran some incredible races. Of course, his Dubai World Cup is legendary as
perfect
well.
Perfect example.
So, you know, I didn't see that one in person, unfortunately, but it was dramatic on
last
television.
Last to first. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And even Bob said afterwards he thought they were done.
Yeah, well, I think everybody did. I just, like, I let out the biggest groan because you hate to see that. You hate to see the best horse in the race get off slowly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, quite possibly lose all chance. And then, you know, but I hearken back to something that Mike Smith said, because the first thing that went through his head was, I'll just ride him like Zenyatta. And I've always said that Mike Smith won that race because he was the only jockey in the world that would have had that thought, right? Because he had come from behind so many times on Zenyatta, and that was his first instinct was. And that's why those guys, those Hall of Fame riders that have the tremendous experience in the big races, they're such an asset.
Absolutely.
Because he drew from his experience.
And he could read the horse.
Right.
You know, he could tell what he that's the thing that – I think that's the part that impressed me the most about that race. Knowing how Mike works and knowing how Bob works, they would never do anything to jeopardize the animal. So the fact that they took him from last to first, while I guarantee in no way, shape, or form would they risk hurting him, shows you what kind of reserve that horse has and how Mike was able to read him.
Yeah.
And know that he was capable of doing it and where to put him. And to your point, it's just that's where the experience, there's no substitute for it.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, when you see that race and you realize, you know, all the things that the horse overcame and how basically easily he won the race, it just, you know, just underlines how phenomenal that horse really was. So,
and the combination.
Cool. Yeah.
I think there's several of these horses that you probably wouldn't know their name if it hadn't been the combination.
Yeah. Well, it certainly does make a difference. Back here at a Gulfstream talking about the Claiming Crown today, the Claiming Crown Jewel, which is the biggest race of the day, is also the last race, the 11th race, I believe it is, and the fantastic field in there. But it seems like Jorge Navarro has taken a page out of Chad Brown's book, and he's got three entrants in the race. He'll be running Flowers for Lisa, the defending champion who was so impressive last year. Aztec Sense, who might be the favorite, even though Flowers for Lisa is doing great and the defending champion. And then Zulu, a horse he's recently acquired and who he's pretty high on as well. So Anthony Stabile was able to catch up with him earlier this week. And here's what Jorge Navarro had to say about his chances.
The defending champ is here, Flowers for Lisa. This is a horse you have had a tremendous amount of success with, and it pretty much kicked off last year in this race with him.
What's funny, the day I claimed him, I remember telling Jason, Flying Peace Stables, that we were going to win that race. All right, and a couple months later, we ended up winning it. So I was inadequate with the cigar mile and kind of reminded me, hey, George, thank you. For promising that, I was like, did I promise that? So, hey, you got it.
After the Jewel, Flowers Felicia seemed to tail off a little bit, but when you got back to Monmouth Park, where you've had a tremendous amount of success the last few years, he seemed to find his form again.
Well, you know what? I did thought you were coming out of the 14-hole. You know what? He ran a huge race that day. And you know what? Yeah, he did tail off, right? Owner asked me if he wanted to run him in that. It was almost claiming chronic aqueduct. And I was like, go ahead. And yes, he did back away from his feet. He wasn't training as good as I had him training. So we decided to give him some time off. And you know what? It worked. He came right back and training really good.
Yeah, won three in a row. In fact, a couple at Monmouth, one in the slop, one on a fast track. Went up to Saratoga, one on a sloppy track. Waters got a little deeper, ran a good second in Saratoga in a money allowance, optional claimer. And then you guys took a big swing last time in the Lucas Classic with him where he ran well. He got beat just 6.5 lengths.
Yes, listen, mind your biscuits. Well, he won that race real easy. Second and third place, I think. They didn't beat up as much. You know what, I was very happy with his performance. You know what, it was something that we had in our head. Listen, the way he's running, we thought that was the right time, you know, let's take a lick at it, take a chance at it, and you know what, we did, and you know what, he ran a big race. Well, what else can we ask from the horse?
All right, that's the defending champ, Flowers for Lisa, Paco Lopez, who was aboard for the Jewel last time. It was the last time he won on him. He rode him a couple of times earlier this year, but he won the Jewel aboard him last year. Paco back aboard on Saturday. More often than not, when there's a defending champ in one of these races, they figure to be the favorite, and he won't be favorite out of the three you run. That role will probably go to Aztec Sense, and you mentioned when you claimed Flowers for Lisa for Flying P, you told Jay that he would win the Claiming Crown Jewel. I don't know if he made any promises with Aztec Sense, but
no,
man,
no,
has he been
what,
on a roll?
You know what? I'm not gonna take that. I'm not gonna take anything from that. You know what? Joseph Besseker, one of my main trainers, he's giving me a good chance with his horses. Joseph Besseker is usually main base is state of Pennsylvania, so my main base is Monmouth Park, and he kept calling me, George, I'm going to claim this horse, and I could tell him, Joe, listen, I have nobody. After I turned it down like 5-6 times, I'm starting to feel bad already. So luckily me, I had a horse running the same day that he picked Aztec Sense to claim, and I said, listen, this guy wants to claim this horse. I don't like him, but he wants him. So, hey, look, he's at the barn, and you know what? I give all the credit to Joe. All right. He picked a nice horse.
And what a roll this horse has been on. Seven wins in a row all this year, undefeated this year. He's won around one turn, two turns, Gulfstream, Monmouth, Parks, wet track, on the lead, off the pace. And, I mean, as versatile as they come. It must be nice to have a horse as fast and as useful as him in the barn.
You know what? He's a very neat horse to work with too. All right, happy. All right, going to the race. He's one of his A game. Refreshing him up a little. All right, the cigar mile came up. We talked about it, and you know what? Joe said, George, listen, let's keep him where he's at. All right, maybe down the road we try something with a little bit more value. But up to right now, our main focus was this race coming up Saturday, and you know what? He's training up to that race really good.
All right. Well, George, thanks for some time today. Good luck.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you again.
That was Jorge Navarro talking about Aztec Sense, a horse that he didn't want to claim, but he's won a gazillion races since. He's actually won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row coming into the race today. And I can relate to that. I once had a horse that I didn't want to claim, and my owner insisted on it, and we ended up winning 2 races and 3 starts with that horse before he got claimed away. So that's quite a record this horse has established, and he's winning by open lengths every time. He's really become a nice horse, and I just happened to note that Emicile Jaramillo, the jockey, and Jorge Navarro, they are winning at a 35% clip, and that's with 55 mounts. So
that's pretty amazing.
They're quite a successful team. Of course, everybody knows Paco Lopez and Jorge are good together. They're at 29% clip. And the horse that he didn't talk about was Zulu, but I know he told Anthony that he really thinks Zulu's got a big chance to win as well. As a matter of fact, he might think that's his best chance, and that's the longest shot. So he's really loaded for bear in the Claiming Crown Jewel today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be an interesting race to watch, and I think Aztec Sense is definitely one you have to keep an eye on.
Did you like anybody else in here? Is there any? Is it just Jorge Navarro and everybody else, or?
Race Me Home is one I think you have to keep an eye on as well. But I think it's again, this is a, as you know, I'm not a real experienced handicapper, and I think when, some of these ones today, when I looked at them, you could kind of make a case for several of them. And it's going to be interesting. The one thing I'm convinced of is I really think there's going to be some big payoffs today.
Yeah, it looks like that kind of a card. And, of course, we talked about that earlier, about it being a day where trip is going to be very important because these fields are so big, and I think post position will play a role as well. Your horse, Race Me Home, I liked him a little bit because he has 2 victories going 1 1/8, which is going to be a big handicapping factor in this race. If you can stay 1 1/8, that's the number one thing, because some horses, that's a distance where it divides horses sometimes.
Yeah,
they can
absolutely get
1 1/16, but they can't get
to 1 1/8. It's a little hard to gauge. And then it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to come down to how, as you say, big fields, you're going to have to get out clean and, get yourself a good spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, three of the main contenders, Race Me Home, Aztec Sense, and Flowers for Lisa, they all have good riders on them. Tyler Gaffalione rides Race Me Home. And they're all horses that seem to have success at 1 1/8. So that's probably where the bulk of the success is going to come from, 5, 6, and 7. And, we'll see what happens. I'm really
Who do you like in
this
one?
I like Aztec Sense.
I keep going back to him, and I would have to agree with you. I really – every instinct says that's going to be the one. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Flowers for Lisa, but it's really going to come down to whether or not, you're going to have to beat Aztec Sense.
Yeah, I like the fact that he can rate a little bit. Flowers for Lisa really does his best running on the lead. And I think Aztec Sense is going to get the great trip right behind him. I guess today's a good day to be Jorge Navarro. But when you look at Aztec Sense, since he went to Monmouth on May 13th and won, his speed figures, now we're talking Brisnet because I'm a Brisnet guy, have increased every race. So at Monmouth, he started with the 94, then he went to a 96, 101, 102, and last time 105. And I love to see that progression in
absolutely.
A horse. And this horse just keeps winning. So,
and that's a day where that's a case. Situation where on a day like today, that's going to serve him well. If he continues on that, it's going to be tough to beat him.
Yeah, and he's been down here since November 1st, and you and I were talking off the air about the weather here and how hard it is to ship in. So he's been here since November 1st. He's been here a whole month.
He's acclimated
to the heat, because I don't know about you, but when I left the hotel this morning, the humidity hit you right in the face when you walked out the door.
Yeah, you can feel it. Yeah. It's going to affect him. And the interesting thing, I think that's going to be one of the challenges today for people as they look at the card, is that the horses did come from all over the place, and it is going to be different for them. And for some of them, on paper, they may be an obvious choice, but in reality, it may be another situation.
Yeah. Well, it takes a little bit of experience to realize that when you come to Gulfstream Park or Gulfstream Park West or Tampa Bay, that it is a real change in humidity, and a lot of horses can't handle it. So if you ship in close, you know, you risk that chance that maybe your horse is one of the ones that, doesn't like it and isn't going to perform their best.
So. And today's going to be warm. As you said, it started out warm, and it's supposed to build, supposed to be in the low 80s.
Yeah, and yeah, we're supposed to get into the 80s. It'll be the first time this week, I guess, but it sure seemed like it this morning, because the last couple of mornings, actually Thursday morning, it was like in the 50s. Earlier,
yeah.
We got on the plane and the pilot said, "Oh yeah, it's 53 degrees." In
The other day there wasn't much difference in temperature between Lexington and here,
right? But this morning it was noticeably different. So it's going to be a great race, the Jewel. We hope you tune in this afternoon and listen to the coverage from 3:30 to 5:30. It will be myself and trainer Chuck Simon with all the coverage of the Claiming Crown, and we'll also touch on some races in New York. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Attention horsemen, the 2018 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 8th to the 17th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses in 2018 of just over $280,000. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2020, regardless of what state they are foaled, are eligible to nominate to our 2022 ITDOA Stallion Futurity for two-year-olds and 2023 Stallion Stakes for three-year-olds. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com. 2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Winning colors in front. Here comes 49er on the outside. Lucas and Stevens. It's a driving finish. Winning colors by a head. Wire to wire with Gary Stevens in the iron. It was 49er on the outside. Coming from far back at the head of the stretch to narrow the gap and lose it by only a half length. Photos all around for the show. But winning colors.
who defeated the boys in the Santa Anita Derby by grabbing the lead and never looking back, did the same thing in the 114th running of the Kentucky Derby, and she did it in 2:02 1/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, and I'm here at Gulfstream Park with Red Brand Fence's own Mark Otto. We're having a fun time this morning talking about the Claiming Crown. That was Dave Johnson on the call of the Kentucky Derby, winning colors, and we're playing that clip in honor of Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens, who retired this week. And in the second half of the show, we're going to have a very nice interview that Jeff Bloom recorded with Gary this week in California, talking about his retirement and his illustrious career. I mean, I always tell people Gary Stevens was such a great jockey. He won a bunch of races for me. So that's how good of a rider he was. And we had a lot of fun together. Our families were always close. The girls are still very good friends and stay in touch. And it was a whole group of racetrack kids that grew up together. Christina Blacker and Gary Stevens' daughter Ashley, and my daughters Ryan and Casey, they were all big friends. The Mitchell girls.
That's nice.
Shea Leparoux now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were all friends. We used to have lots of sleepovers, trading kids here and there, and it was a lot of fun at Del Mar during the summers, and the kids all love it when they get together, even now that they're adults. You have a great relationship with Gary.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. You know, it's kind of ironic. I met Gary several years ago through old friends. As you know, I'm on the board of directors there, and you know, we have Silver Charm, which was one of Gary's big horses. So I met Gary one time when they came out there to do photos, and we kind of hit it off right from the beginning. And when the opportunity presented itself to bring him onto Red Brand as one of the ambassadors, I jumped at the chance. He was one of the first guys I went to talk to. And he was at a position where he was able to join our team, which has probably been one of the best moves we made, along with, obviously, the rest of the team. I mean, it's interesting. People ask me a lot. They're like, who is it that's kind of the lead? And, I mean, you'd probably have to say Bob Baffert's the lead. I mean, he's the head of our team, but it's really hard to put somebody in the lead because we have such a phenomenal group of guys. I mean, we've got Gary, obviously, which is, you know, Hall of Fame jockey, an amazing guy, very articulate, very smart, just a great guy to be around. And he's staying on with Red Brand. You're going to see more and more of Gary. We're really excited about the next chapter in his career. He's going to be making appearances for us and for other things within horse racing. And Gary is a unique guy because he really understands the horse, the farm, and the track. And not that there aren't several other guys that do that, but Gary, I think, has been around it at every level for so long that he truly understands and really likes and enjoys the whole industry, which makes it such a natural fit for him with us. Because, as you know, Red Brand Fence, you know, our claim to fame is our V-mesh, but we also make non-climb and a full array of other agriculture fencing. We really work closely with the farms, and that's where Gary ties in really nicely. Bob, obviously, same thing. Bob is really involved with a lot of the farms and breeding. You know, several of his horses live behind our fence. But, you know, so we were fortunate to have Bob Baffert, Drayden Van Dyke, Gary Stevens, and your very own Big A. So
there you go. A little something for everybody.
we're really very, very blessed, and we're really excited. But we're really anxious to get Gary through what he needs to do medically and then get him out and about again. So people are going to get to see him quite a bit, and we're really excited about being able to work with him and honored to have him on the team.
Yeah, well, he's such a great guy. He's a very articulate speaker. He's a great representation of our sport.
He Absolutely.
Always has been, and, you know, he's multi-talented in several areas. He's a terrific actor.
He is, you know, and you touched on it. He's very articulate. He's very kind, you know, and that might sound like kind of hokey and people think, well, but one of the things I've always noticed with Gary is no matter how busy he is, it doesn't matter. He could be walking to the paddock for the Kentucky Derby, and if a fan wants to say hi to him or snap a picture, he'll stop, put his arm around him, take a picture, sign something for him. I mean, he truly, you know, enjoys the sport, enjoys the people, and it really resonates. I mean, you can see it that, you know, he's got a winning smile. People just enjoy him. And he's personal, and he'll really takes an interest in people, and I think that's really nice. I mean, he's just a great guy.
Yeah, I think that's his basic personality, and I know sometimes in the heat of battle, he can get a little, you know, angry about a horse not winning or something. He thinks maybe he could have ridden the horse better or whatever, and that right after the event, he can be a little testy. But in general, when you get him in a quieter setting, when he's not in competition, he's like one of the greatest guys you can be around. He always likes to have a good time, has a Absolutely. Smile on his face, and really enjoys, I think he enjoys being Gary Stevens, and that's a hard thing to do sometimes.
And it's interesting, and it's something kind of from, as I say, I don't know, I probably, you could write a book on what I don't know, but I've been sitting in the audience watching the show for quite a while, and one of the things I noticed with the top guys, and we're very fortunate to work with a lot of the top guys, they're all a little hard on themselves right afterwards. I mean, and I think that goes to the competitiveness and just what a tenacious, competitor these guys are, whether it's Bob or Drayden or Gary. I think you notice, like with Gary, the first thing he does is he talks about what he could have done better. And I think that really goes to why he was so successful as a jockey.
Absolutely. Well, we're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizu. Monoboy Girl has won the distance.
Justified from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I'm your host, Jude Feld, and my special co-host today is Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. And we're happy to be here in South Florida for the Claiming Crown. It's going to be a great day of racing. Get your PPs, study up. Money to be made today. And we certainly hope that you enjoy the day here at Gulfstream Park. We were talking about Gary Stevens before the break, and we decided this week that we would make Gary the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And our own Jeff Bloom took some time out of his busy schedule to meet up with Gary down in Del Mar and talk about Gary's career. And here's that interview right now.
We're here with Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens. Gary, this is the third and final retirement for you in an incredible Hall of Fame career. What was going through your mind when you received the call from your doctor and he said, this is it, that's the last race you've ridden?
I guess, Jeff, a little bit of a relief. I was experiencing a different kind of pain than I've ever experienced before, and just like lightning bolts going down my arms, and I knew it wasn't normal. And he told me, he said, you're not even riding a merry-go-round anymore, and third time's the charm, as my daughter told me this morning, Madison, and it's time to turn the page and make a new chapter.
Gary, you've accomplished virtually everything there is to accomplish in this great game of horse racing. 9 classic wins, including 3 Kentucky Derby wins. You've ridden about 30,000 races, which is amazing to think about. Is there any one particular race or series of races that stick out of all the accomplishments?
Yeah, most definitely. Coming out of retirement and the end of 2012, 2013 was like a banner year for me, believe it or not. I was able to win my first Breeders' Cup Classic on Mucho Macho Man, and then moving forward from that, my last 5 years were my best 5 years that I enjoyed the most, maybe because of my age. I think that I was just looking at the icing on the cake, and my relationship with Beholder and Richard Mandela grew. I've always respected Richard Mandela, and going through that run with her, it was just exceptionally special for me. What she did in the Pacific Classic here at Del Mar, defeating the boys by 14 lengths, just basically destroying the field, and then coming back against the undefeated Songbird in what was billed as an epic race. It was an epic race. It was the funnest race that I was ever involved in. And my best friend Mike Smith on Songbird, I wish there wouldn't have been a loser. And when I say that, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Songbird didn't deserve to lose, and Mike Smith didn't deserve to lose, nor did Beholder. But it was an epic race, and my best memories are my last 5 years, not the first 5 years.
Your career took you all over the world, riding in all of the biggest races across the world. Did you ever imagine as a young boy growing up in Idaho that you would see yourself having a career like this?
No, Jeff. I mean, I'm going to tell the truth. I was an 11th grade dropout to pursue thoroughbred horse racing. I had scholarship offers coming from some of the biggest wrestling schools around my junior year, and I've still got the letter that my wrestling coach Ron Thompson sent to my parents that I was wasting my career pursuing what I was pursuing, and that always gave me incentive. But thoroughbred horse racing gave me the best education that I could have got anywhere at any university. I mean, I traveled to Hong Kong, France, England, Germany, Japan, Ireland, and just meeting people and meeting the fine horsemen and the fine owners that I've ridden for gave me my education. It allowed me to, expand on my abilities and just absorb things and learn from people in real life situations. So I consider myself very, very lucky with the education I got through thoroughbreds.
Gary, you made such a big name for yourself in such a short time up in Seattle at the old Long Acres racetrack. When you came down to Southern California, how difficult was it for you to break into a jockey colony that include the likes of Hall of Famers Bill Shoemaker, Eddie Delahousse, Chris McCarron, and other guys like that?
Well, it's never easy in Southern California. It never has been. Southern California and New York are the two premier places that you want to make your name. And when I came down here in 1984, people forget that I was here in 1980 when I was an apprentice. And I got homesick. I was a kid from Boise, Idaho, and it lasted 3 months. And I came back, and I was able to, during that time, that four-year period, practice the things that I had learned with the names you just mentioned, the great Bill Shoemaker, Daryl McCarg, Eddie Delahousse, Sandy Hawley, Lafitte Pinkai. I mean, the list went on and on. It was a who of racing. I got to practice the things I learned and made me a better rider. And when I came back in 84, I got here at a time that I hate using the word lucky, but I've always been lucky, and I've always said it's better to be lucky than good. And I caught on fire in October of 1984, and Laz Barrera, Wayne Lucas, Eddie Gregson, Charlie Whittingham. I mean, the biggest names, Ron McAnally, training for Jack Kent Cook, and the stables I was riding for, man, you couldn't help but do good. And I was thrown into a firestorm that was the perfect fire, and I was the blaze that was getting to ride all these good horses. So I was at the right place at the right time, learning from the best there was. And for whatever reason, Bill Shoemaker took me under his wing, along with Eddie and Lafitte, and I built some great great friendships. And Marge Everett, Hollywood Park, she fell in love with me for whatever reason, and all the management at Santa Anita and here at Del Mar, Joe Harper. I was part of an era that was very, very special, and I got to enjoy those early days and see how the sport was back in its heyday. And you know, we're thriving in some places. Other places we're struggling a little bit, but hopefully it comes back to those great days of yesteryear.
Gary, your name is synonymous with a superstar athlete. All the accomplishments that you have, including being a Hall of Fame jockey, the numerous Breeders' Cup wins, I think it's 11. You're a George Wolfe recipient award winner, selected by your peers, close to 6,000 wins on the back of a racehorse. And you mentioned a number of jockeys that you were able to not only experience riding races with, but possibly mentored you. What about this new crop of jockeys that are coming into this game? And I know that I've heard from others in the game that you've gone out of your way to help other riders and try to educate them and teach them about the ways of the racetrack. And how good of a feeling is that to see some of these young guys that you've helped along the way see them be successful?
Hey, man, I'm so proud. I mean, I'm best friends with Mike Smith, but to see Drayden Van Dyke do what he's doing right now and being mentored by the jockeys that I was mentored by, and Chris Antley, one of the greatest riders that I ever rode with, and some of these guys, I was blessed, and I feel it's my duty and my job to mentor them. I got a phone call this morning from a young jockey, a soon-to-be jockey that's headed to Turf Paradise, and he asked me for any advice, and I said, yeah, I got some advice for you. I said, you're going over there, and you're going to ride with one of the best jockeys that you'll ever ride with and one of the best teachers. His name's Scott Stevens. I'm going to forward his phone number to you, and there was just silence on the phone, and I called my big brother up, and I said, I'm sending you a kid. I need some help. And there's been many of them that we've sent different places to get their education, and they've turned out pretty well. And Drayden was one of them. And, man, it's fun to watch these kids that you've helped mentor. And it's not just me. It's a group of riders. But it's old school, and if they don't want to learn old school, they're probably not going to do real well. This is an old school sport, and the rules don't change.
Gary, when the realization sets in that you are officially retired from race riding, what's next for Gary Stevens? Obviously, you've had an incredible run during your brief periods of retirement. You've been a star on the screen. You've been in movies. You've been an incredible racing analyst. You've trained horses. You've been a jockey agent. Have you had an opportunity to think about what's next?
Hey, I'm a guy that life presents opportunities, and I want to continue to grow. I do a lot of reading, and I like watching journeys. I like going on journeys, and, you know, I'm 55 years old, and the older I get, the younger 55 sounds. So I want to continue to grow and continue to educate myself and help younger people and watch my kids grow up and my grandkids and grow old and be happy and keep contributing in the thoroughbred industry and outside of the thoroughbred industry in any way I can.
Gary, I'll leave you with one final thought. With all of the victories, all of the accomplishments, all of the awards, all of the accolades, is there any one thing as a race rider that you feel you missed out on or you get to retire with knowing this is the way to retire?
No, I'm a pretty satisfied guy. I got a phone call from Wayne Lucas yesterday morning. We were on the phone for about 45 minutes. One of my idols, and has taught me so much about this great business. And, you know, between Wayne and Laz Barrera, they gave me my first opportunities in the big show. And they built me. They made me. And that's what young kids need to know is we can't do this without the horses and without the guys that are training the horses, and especially the owners that are paying the bills on these horses, and most of all the race fans. If we don't continue to build race fans, then we're a dying breed. And I think we've got some new, great people in this industry at the executive level that have figured this out as well. And when we catch up to NASCAR and the PGA and NFL and college football as far as marketing, then we're going to be right back up there as one of America's number one spectator sports. That's where we were in the 60s and early 70s, and that's what we need to get back to. And I want to be a part of that.
Thanks so much, Gary Stevens, and best of luck to you in your future endeavors.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, that was Jeff Bloom interviewing Hall of Fame writer Gary Stevens, and we want to thank Jeff for that interview. All brought to you by Stuart Morris. We made Gary the industry star of the week. And Stuart Morris offers a full boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales, and you're going to enjoy spending time with Stuart Morris. Well, Mark Otto, wow, that was an interesting interview, huh?
Yeah.
And it's great to see Gary focused on some new things. He mentioned the golden age, that the era of racing that he was proud to be a part of. That's a time when I also feel very lucky to be participating in racing during the time that Charlie Whittingham, Laz Barrera, Ron McAnally, those guys were all at the top of their game. They were always helpful with me. And Gary, you know, it's great. He gave a lot of his tack to some of the younger riders that he respects and thinks they're going to be
Saw he did that. That was really nice of him. I mean, you can tell the guys truly, you know, appreciated it for the honor.
Oh, yeah,
that
Joe
was.
Talamo, he went out and won a stakes in Gary Saddle like the next day or whatever. He was all pumped up, you know, and that's great. I mean, Gary, as you mentioned earlier, he's a generous guy. He's a very giving guy. And,
very kind. And he's put a lot of time, him and Mike Smith both have put a lot of time in working with Drayden. And it's interesting, you know, Gary really looked up to Shoemaker. And Gary's mentioned several times that, you know, Drayden reminds him of Shoemaker. And when you look at the photos, I actually have photos in my house of Roundtable with Shoemaker. And it is uncanny, the stance and how he rides. Drayden looks like him when he's on a horse.
Yeah.
And Gary and Mike, and it's a good example of, you know, kind of, you know, the mentoring that takes place in this industry. And there aren't probably any two jockeys that do it more than Gary and Mike.
Yeah. Well, they really do go the extra mile. And I remember one day at Santa Anita, I was watching a race, and there was a Harborview horse that Laz Barrera was training. And he came around the turn at the 3/8 pole. The jock made the lead and was riding really strong, and I didn't even know who the horse was or whatever. I just knew it was Laz's horse. And after the race, I said to my friend Josh, I said, man, Lafitte rode that horse good. Because that wasn't Lafitte. That was Patrick Valenzuela.
That's amazing. Isn't it?
And then, once you figure that out, I mean, this guy looks like Lafitte, you know. And for them to say Drayden looks like Shoemaker, I mean, it's the same kind of deal. I mean, there's just something about the talent that's there, and you can see it right
away. And you can really see it. And you can see him. I have seen, I mean, Drayden is also on our team, and he's been with us now for about 6 months, and I can actually see a huge growth with him just over the past year. I mean, it's amazing. And one of the things that I really noticed with him that was very similar to Gary and Mike and a lot of the great jockeys is just how relaxed they look. I mean, if you look at Drayden, he always looks like he's just completely at ease on that horse. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's coming from behind or leading the pack. He's just completely, you know, you don't see the tenseness. You don't see the stress. And I really think that that's a key. I know, you know, I was fortunate to, you know, get to know Pat Day a little bit through having Gulch at Old Friends. And, you know, Pat was one that said, you know, the more that you can listen to the horse. He said, I started winning races when I started letting the horse tell me when it's time to go. And I really think that's the key for a lot of these guys is, you know, how well, like we were talking earlier with Mike Smith, you know, being able to read that horse and know where to put him, when to put him, and when to let him go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's vitally important. And like everything else, you know, it comes with age and wisdom and experience.
And the mentoring absolutely guides in that because, I mean, it's an invaluable asset for these young guys to be able to talk to a Gary Stevens or a Mike Smith. And you know that they're passing on things that Shoemaker gave them.
Right, right. And then it was nice, too, that Gary mentioned his brother Scott. Many times Gary and I had conversations about riding and our sport and all that. And Gary always told me that Scott Stevens was a better rider than he was.
Isn't that amazing?
And you know, I know Gary has tremendous respect for his brother and when you think about it, imagine, you know, if Scott Stevens is a really quiet guy, he's kind of a private guy, and he doesn't, you know, ever advertise himself. He just goes about his business riding races, and that's what he likes to do. And if he had the same type of outgoing personality that his brother had, we might have two Stevens
absolutely,
you know, at the top of the game. But in any case, that's great for the young rider Gary was talking about, to be able to be mentored by Scott Stevens, who really, according to Gary, taught him everything he knows.
It is, and so. It is amazing. When it's always interesting to me to hear when you meet somebody really great, and whether it's a trainer or a jockey, that or even guys on the farm. You know, I work a lot really closely with the farms with Red Brand Fence, and you know, one of the things that always is interesting to me is who they looked up to. Who was it that they, you know, took things? Because I know there's a lot of people in my career that I've looked up to, you know, some very famous, some people nobody would even know of. I mean, and it is amazing. I think that's the key to any success is, you know, people, you know, mentoring the people below them and listening to the people above them.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. We got to get to a quick break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. The Caribbean Classic is back on Saturday, December 8th with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th. A program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From Foaling Barn to Finish Line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 Horse Country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million-dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Flowers for Lisa has him on the ropes, it appears. Confidently handled by Paco Lopez and moves away by two. On the outside, Flashy Jewel tries to stay with him. Second, Diamond Bachelor has room to quicken if he's good enough, and he is coming on. Final furlong, Lopez wakes up Flowers for Lisa, who maintains control. Diamond Bachelor is second, Flashy Jewel on the outside. But through it all, Flowers from Lisa will go gate to wire to win it. Flowers for Lisa by a length and a half. Close for second, maybe Flashy Jewel over Diamond Bachelor. Also close for the minors involving Capital Letters and Turco Bravo in 148-3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, and I'm at Gulfstream Park with Mark Otto, and we're enjoying this nice warm weather, not to rub it in if anybody's in snow or rain or whatever, but it's beautiful here.
But we'll rub it in.
No, I don't like to. I don't like to do that. That's not nice. I know that I'm on the other end of the coin most of the time, so we'll have to deal with that later. But it's now time for the Blood Horse News Update. Jockey John Velasquez earned his 6,000th North American victory November 30th at Aqueduct Racetrack, where he piloted Barry Schwartz's Singapore Trader to victory in the fifth race. Velasquez, 47, is the 18th jockey to reach the milestone and one of just four active riders in the exclusive club, joining fellow Hall of Famer Edgar Prado, Mario Pino, and Perry Utz. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for Saturday. And we want to remind you that the Blood Horse is the industry's only weekly magazine or tablet, has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years. If you want to follow the sport and the industry, there's no better way than with Blood Horse Magazine. And here's a special offer you can take advantage of right now. 70% of the cover price plus a 2019 Blood Horse wall calendar valued at $24.95 for free. So go to bloodhorse.com. /winter special and take advantage of a 70% discount and get yourself that free calendar. Bloodhorse.com. So now we're joined in person by Leroy Gessman, who is, I believe, making your third straight appearance on Claiming Crown Day. Is that right?
That's correct.
I thought so. I was thinking about it last night, and I go, Leroy's been on every year, I think the last 3 years. So congratulations for making another one.
It's always fun to be here, and it's fun to come to Gulfstream, especially this time of year, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, you look good. You got a little tan going, and how many days you been here?
Well, I come from Phoenix.
So
that's
okay.
Where the tan comes from.
I got you. There you go. So you're used to the warm weather. You're just enjoying the day here. We got a great program today, huh? Like 148 horses entered, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice card. It's very interesting. I looked through the PPs, and it's just amazing. I'm not looking for the winners as much as where the horses come from and how they got here.
Yeah, really are coming from everywhere.
They are. Every track that you can think of is being representative. Even our little track in Phoenix, Turf Paradise, has got some representatives here. Santa Anita. I mean, they come from all over. It's not just the Gulfstream horses.
How long have you been directly involved in the event?
Well, this thing was all started by Tom Metzen. This is the 19th running, I believe, and he started this thing up in Canterbury, and I always kind of helped him, but it was his deal, and he ran it, and he made it happen for many years. And I really got involved when it came to Gulfstream. Health was ailing, and I kind of stepped in and kind of picked it up when it came to Gulfstream, about 3-4 years ago.
So. Yeah. Well, so you've actually been involved since its inception, but you've really taken an active part since it's been here in South Florida. And I think that's been a tremendous partnership for the Claiming Crown and Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, I think this is a great place and a great time of year, I think, to run it. Kind of caps off a year of claiming and following up from the Breeders' Cup. I just think it makes for a great day.
It's really intriguing to me how people have the Claiming Crown in mind all year long. They're looking for horses for these races starting in January and looking to see who might be eligible, should we claim this one, and with the Claiming Crown in mind. And even as it gets closer to the event, trainers dropping horses down into claiming races, maybe risking a nice horse for less than they're worth, trying to get one that they can sneak in here and take that big check home.
Yeah, and I noticed if you look back, there's several horses in the PPs that were claimed on their last start.
Yeah.
Just people claimed them just to bring them down here for this. So I think it's been great. Obviously, the Florida HBPA has played a big part in this and allowing us to run for the kind of money we're running for, to be $110,000 purse. That's all due to the Florida HBPA and Gulfstream, and that's what's really kind of give this thing a big boost.
Well, it's a great event to have on opening day. It kicks off their championship meet, and it is the championships for the claiming horses. So it all ties in very nicely, and you're right. Gulfstream's a place that everybody wants to come to, especially in wintertime. So it's strategically placed. You got to have your championships at the end of the year, but you're also here when the weather's better here than it is in a lot of places in the United States.
Yeah, it's just the fact that we have 14 horses in most fields, and with some also eligibles, just the amount of horses that have shown interest is really encouraging.
Yeah, there's some large fields today. It's something we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, you're going to need to have a good trip, and everything's going to have to go your way. If you got a bad post, you're going to have to overcome it. It's deep. I mean, these races are very strong. They are,
and it's. I mean, there's horses coming out of stake races to run here today. There's even a couple of horses that were in a graded stake on their last start. So, I mean, there's some good horses here today.
Yeah. What about the other things that you do for the HBPA? What's going on with the HBPA on the national level, and what are some of the things that you guys are interested in promoting?
Well, right now, a lot of our focus is on two things, really. The bill that some people in this industry continue to push in the federal legislation. We spend a lot of time, effort, and money trying to defeat their efforts on that as far as eliminating race day LASIKs. The other thing we're really having a lot of success with lately is working with the people in Washington on the guest worker legislation. We got some new programs that they think they can get passed in Congress that will make it a little more easier for the horsemen across the country to get guest workers into the country and work for them, because that's a big problem in the industry.
Oh, it's so important, too. I mean, there's so many facets of our business that we need, you know, quality workers and qualified workers, and to have you know, them available, because you know, there's not a lot of there's a lot of jobs available, but there's not a lot of people that want to do them.
Yeah, especially being a, you know, working in the backside with the horses and even working on the farms. I mean, one thing about animals, it's 24/7. They need care, and especially these real expensive thoroughbreds. And there's just not people that want to work 7 days a week and take care of these.
And to have that experience. You know, yeah. A lot of these kids grew up in Central and, you know, Latin America, and they've been around them ever since they were little. And, you know, they really are the backbone of our industry.
There's a lot of people, too, that are afraid of horses and that don't want to work with large animals. That, you know, they don't have the confidence. And it's so important, as you know, to have confidence when you work with horses, because the horses will take advantage of you.
Yeah. They can sense it.
They know if you're afraid of them, or they know if you're in control of them. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. To back up a little bit, I mean, tell us, sum up, if you would, what the HBPA does. I mean, I know what it is. Jude knows what it is. But for a lot of people listening, they may not really understand what the HBPA is. And of all the associations we have, you guys are probably the closest tied to us as the horsemen.
Well, the HBPA does a lot of things. There's 33 affiliates that are part of the National HBPA. And those 33 affiliates represent the horsemen at each individual racetrack. There's three main groups in the country: the THA, the HBPA, and the TOC in California. And we all do the same thing. We represent the horsemen. The HBPA represents the trainers and the owners. And we do a lot of work with management, making in the individual racetracks, making sure the conditions are good and the horsemen are being treated fairly. We try and we set up benevolence programs for the backside workers when they need health care, dental work, so forth, because, you know, those guys don't get paid a lot of money. They don't have insurance. And so we try and work with them and help them with their medical bills. You know, that's kind of stuff that we do. Then also on the national level, like I said, we're working on the national legislation front, and we have representatives in Washington, D.C. now. Eric Hamelback, who's my CEO, he's a great guy. He's spending a lot of time, his time and efforts, with Washington, D.C. right now.
Yeah, he really is a great guy. Hardworking guy, really understands the industry, and he's been up both sides on the, you know, association side and as a horseman.
Yeah, he's been a great asset to the HPPA. I thank Frank Stronach every day for letting him come to work for us.
Yeah, he does work tirelessly. He's always doing everything he can to help the horsemen. And I don't know if he gets enough credit, but you guys do such a great job, and you always have the backstretch workers in mind, and that's something that I'm, you know, very concerned about. I those guys, you know, they made my life as a trainer, and they do that for all the trainers. So it's important that they get taken care of.
Yeah, like we were talking earlier, it's a very tough job, and they have to work a lot of them work seven days a week and taking care of those horses, and they don't get paid a lot of money.
And they're dedicated.
The majority
of those guys are very, very dedicated. They're good with the horses. They're very comfortable. As Jude said, you have to have a confidence, and you could see it in most of those guys.
Yeah, we were talking earlier with Billy Badgett, the general manager here at Gulfstream, and he was talking about the tram tours that they have. And I think that's such a great idea, because a lot of people get to go back there and see what goes on the backside and see how well these horses are taken care of, and they're taken care of by men and women who have dedicated their life to their animals. And I think sometimes that gets missed in the general overview of horse racing.
Yeah, and, you know, Eric today is working with a group of people that he's putting on a seminar on claiming. And that, too, is things that we do at the HPPA, is trying to educate people on the business and the sport and how to be involved in it.
Yeah, that's great. That's a cool thing that you guys are doing today, and hopefully it's well attended. Well, Leroy, we appreciate you stopping by and giving us some time today, and we appreciate all your efforts on behalf of the Claiming Crown and everything else that you do for our horsemen and our backstretch workers. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you guys for having us, and thanks for the job you do with the radio network. It's I listen to it every Saturday morning. So.
Oh, well, we appreciate
thank you
guys.
Even in Phoenix.
Good deal.
All right, thanks,
thank
guys.
Well, that was Leroy Gessman from the National HBPA. He is the chairman and president. And this is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb was the leading freshman sales sire of weanlings, yearlings, and two-year-olds. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including stakes winners Autumn Warrior and Orbolution, stakes performer Scrapper, and TDN rising star Explorer. In the sales ring, his progeny continue to sell well beyond his stud feed, including the $1 million co-sale topper at Saratoga.
Classic Winner, Classic Pedigree, or Standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But Elsa is up to get the lead now. Velvet Queen's run a huge one, but it's Elka Strike in the front and starting to pull away. And Elsa, a devastating final eighth of a mile, wins it impressively. Elsa and Joe Bravo go home to score.
Elsa put in that impressive run to win the Grade 3 Jimmy Durante Stakes at Del Mar on Saturday. With the famous Godolphin Royal Blue Colors, the two-year-old daughter of Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom won going away by more than two lengths under jockey Joe Bravo or trainer Michael Stidham, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom now has type winners, More Than Curlin, Quality Road, Ghost Sapper, and Blame at the same stage of their careers. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Gunrunner with an unforgettable performance in the Pegasus World Cup.
Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
They're coming to the wire and accelerate. Breeders' Cup Classic!
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Practical Jokes is now within five lengths of the lead as they come off the turn and enter the stretch. And here is Sharp Azteca now to take the lead. Three quarters up in 1:10-4. Mind Your Biscuits is putting in a run on the outside. And now there's a furlong to the finish. It's Sharp Azteca with the lead. Mind Your Biscuits into second. As they come down for the finish, it's Sharp Azteca, and he was sharp as can be today to win the Cigar Mile. Won it by five. Mind Your Biscuits was second. Practical Joke closed to be third. American Eyes was fourth. The mile in 1 minute, 35 seconds.
John Embriel on the call of the 2017 Cigar Mile. Sharp Azteca taking that race for trainer Jorge Navarro, and today is Cigar Mile Day in New York. Not only Cigar Mile Day, but four other stakes on the dock, three other stakes on the docket, a total of four, and they kick it off in the fourth race today, a 1:02 post time for the Demoiselle. That's a grade two for two-year-old fillies, and it's quite an interesting field. There's a couple of really nice fillies in here. I was kind of liking the one and the seven enlivened for Sheikh Mohammed's Godolphin Racing and Kieran McLaughlin, and then Molto Bella on the outside. Ian Wilkes trains Molto Bella, a daughter of Violence from a Milwaukee broodmare who's been running quite consistently in Kentucky. So it's kind of a New York Kentucky square off in the Demoiselle. And
you got to go to Kentucky.
You're not prejudiced or anything, huh? You don't have an East Coast bias.
No, not at all. No East Coast bias here. Yeah.
You might have.
I lean west and take Kentucky with me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Go west, young man. Well, it's going to be a good race. There's a lot of other talented fillies in here. Girl of Toscanova, Philly Joel. It's a real tough race. But it's going to be intriguing. It's a race that has carried a lot of history over the years. It's a mile and an eighth for two-year-old filly, so you might consider it like a Kentucky Oaks preview. So maybe your Kentucky idea is not too bad.
Yeah, when in doubt, go with Kentucky.
There you go.
Or California.
Just alienated all of our there New York go. Listeners. So
send your mail to HR.
Yeah, does not reflect the views of this station. The sixth race is the Gopher Wand, and Gopher Wand, everybody remembers her, what a talented filly she was. Bob Baffert, one of the representatives of Red Brand Fence, has Marley's Freedom in this race, and Marley's Freedom is a tremendous filly. She had won four straight going into the Breeders' Cup, didn't get away well, was 13th early, 7.5 lengths behind. That was a little bit too much for her and Mike Smith to overcome. She got beat a half a length. That was a tough
defeat. Probably don't have to tell you where I'm leaning.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you're leaning there. She's probably going to be the favorite.
Well, and we've actually got, it may not be a true reflection, but just name alone, you got to take a look at Pacific Wind.
Yeah, Pacific Wind. She's an interesting filly, a daughter of Curlin out of the Dixieland Band mare. She's very talented. She won the Grade 2 Ruffian at Belmont Park in May. Her recent races haven't been her best, but she's certainly capable. And in the stable of Chad Brown, we'll see if she can do any good today. She drew a nice post, being outside, going to be able to be placed wherever jockey Herod Ortiz Jr. wants to be placed. And that's always a plus in those one-turn mile races at Aqueduct. So,
but we're definitely going to keep the Team Baffert on top. So,
okay, all right, I'll go along with that. I think Marley's Freedom's pretty tough today. We also have the Remsen Stakes. That's a Grade 2 for the 2-year-old boys. This is a race that often is considered a Derby prep or Derby indicator. Hasn't produced a Derby winner in a long time. But there's some really interesting runners in here. Chad Brown leads off the Brigade with Network Effect, who is the morning line favorite, by a horse named Mark Valesky that you may remember. Larry Jones trained him, I believe, for Governor Jones, former Kentucky Governor Brereton Jones. And Mark Valesky is a freshman sire this year. I actually have him in a freshman sire contest that I'm in. He's the morning line favorite. He's going to be tough today. He won first time out going 7 furlongs, came back going a mile and finished second. He's got a lot of talent, and Chad Brown will get it out of him. Another horse that's a lot of people are talking about. This horse is an international buzz horse right now. Maximus Mischief.
That was the one that I can't have my eyes on. I think he really stands out. And
so what do you like about him? Other than 2 victories in a row.
Just a tough horse. Just a hard-knocking horse that I really think is going to go the distance and fight for it.
Yeah. Well, he also won a race going 7 furlongs. And interestingly enough, there's a good correlation between horses that run 7 furlongs being able to get the mile and an eighth distance.
Really?
So he's an interesting horse. He won first time out by 8 3/4 at Parks, going 5 1/2 furlongs, stretched out to 7/8. Granted, it was only a 3-horse field. But he won that race by 6. He's buying into Mischief, one of the best sires we have in the United States.
And he seems to be improving. I mean, granted, there isn't a lot to draw from, but from what you see, you can see.
Yeah, well, he started out with a 94 Brisnet speed figure in his first race and went to 104 for his second. So he moved up 10 points there, and 104
substantial
is 10 points higher than par for the level of the Remsen.
So who are you leaning towards in this one?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a friend who lives in Great Britain, and the betting service that he uses offered 66-1 on a horse of his choice, and he's betting it on Maximus Mischief.
I can't blame him.
I'm rooting for him, and I guess for you.
There you Maximus go. Mischief. There was another one in there that came up a couple of times, Bourbon War.
Bourbon War is an interesting horse. He won first time out for Rajiv Mirage, going a one-turn mile at Aqueduct November the 14th. So he's coming back rather quickly.
Has one of the Ortiz brothers on him. You can't discount that.
No. And he's by Tappet out of an Artie Schiller mare. So the mile and eighth should be well within his range. And he certainly has a chance. I mean, these races are pretty strong. There's nice horses. And it'll be interesting to see who handles the distance and who handles the class of the race and take it from there. So, and then
brings us to the Cigar.
Cigar. The race of the day. And this is a race that people plan to run in all year long. It's a maker of stallions. It's one of those races where when you see a horse won the Cigar Mile handicap, you know he was...
They'll have our very own Big A excited for multiple reasons.
as good as it gets. So it's not a surprise that Mendelsohn's in here because he's obviously trying to win a Grade 1 on the dirt. And
the story there has to be the travel for him.
Yeah, he travels a lot, but he seems to handle it okay. He's been running quite well. He's been showing good speed. They finally trained Ryan Moore to put him on the lead, and he's doing well. I think he's got a big chance today. This is probably his best chance that he's ever had to win a Grade One on the dirt, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's, you know, he's definitely in the top of the field, and then, you know, Coppertown has to be the next discussion.
Yeah, Coppertown, he's an interesting horse. He's had a short career, but a very good one. He's making his stakes debut in a Grade One, but he's gone through a couple of conditions for Todd Pletcher, and Todd must feel like he's, you know, sitting on a good race right now, even though he had that layoff from October 7th of last year to October the 13th of this year. But he came through with flying colors and won by 5 lengths at 70 cents on the dollar at Keeneland October 13th. So his form is impeccable. It's just, has he got enough conditioning as far as, like, you know, racing
stamina
and fitness to run this race today against top company, or the toughest company he's ever faced?
No, it's absolutely true. But you almost have to keep him in, you know, use him as a key horse. He's going to be there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got speed. He can rate. There's lots of things to like about him. He's the son of Spitestown. I don't know what the track condition is going to be in New York, but if it's fast, it's fine. If it's off, it's great for him. Your man Big A, he's a big fan of Timeline. What do you think of Timeline?
You know, Timeline has come up with several people, and I think that's one you can't overlook either. Big A putting him on top, or is it just in the mix?
Yeah, I think he put him on top, but, you know, he likes to get cute once in a while.
You know, the challenge I think Timeline's going to have is getting past Mendelsohn. I mean, I think Mendelsohn is there to win. Obviously, everybody is, but, I mean, he's really looking for that Grade One, and it's, you know, that's the horse to beat.
Yeah, yeah, there's no question about that. He's one of those horses who, you know, certainly has the ability and the talent to get it done. He just needs to get a good trip, and hopefully it works out for him.
I'll wish our best to Big A, but you never know.
Good luck, Big A.
Good luck, Big A.
Mark says you might be in deep today with time.
Yeah, right. We'll stretching see. Out there yourself.
we'll see what happens in New York. Good day of racing. The post time for the cigar is 3:45 Eastern time, and you'll want to keep an eye on that one. That's a big race in the United States. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Great Estakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grains.
Freak, yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
As they come down to the finish, point of entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since theatrical to win the New York Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
It is point of entry in front. Treasure Beach can't stay with him. Kindergarten Kid comes down the inside from third, and they're coming down to the finish. And point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Now, with winners in 8 countries on all services up to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multi-graded stakes winner, Analyze It, in his first crop, and stakes winner and grade 1 placed My Gal Betty from his second crop, the heir to Dynaformer, and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. I just like to listen to that music for a second.
I know. That is nice.
It's always pretty cool. I'm here with Mark Otto. We're at Gulfstream Park. The sun is out now.
Absolutely. Looks amazing.
We're all in our places with sunshiny faces, and it's been a fun show.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun.
It's been
great
crisp.
Guests.
Yeah. And you have mentioned that you're involved with old friends on the board of directors and such, and it's a great organization, and I understand that they've got some new horses coming around.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on there. I mean, it seems like it's amazing to me. I mean, I'm really blessed. I mean, I've really been fortunate coming from outside this industry to come in and not only be accepted, but be accepted by some of the top people and connect with them, from Bob Baffert to Michael Blown at Old Friends to, you know, a lot of the farms that have really guided me along the way. And it's interesting to me, Old Friends, when I first started working with Michael Blown, you know, we could part the crowd like the Red Sea when we go to the track. People would almost run. And now he's like the fifth Beatle. And it's really amazing because they've really taken it, you know, taken the stigma off aftercare, because his philosophy is, and this is really a testament to not only him, but Bob Baffert and Jill Baffert, who are huge supporters and just do so much for the farm, that, you know, there are professional trainers, there's professional breeders, and Old Friends is professional retirement. It's not a rescue. This is where these athletes go to retire and allow, you know, people to see them. I mean, there are literally tens of thousands of visitors a year that'll visit the farm, tours every day, and the majority of them have never been to a race. So one of the things that Old Friends has really done is they've exposed a lot of people to the sport. And I think that that's really beginning to grow and grow and grow. Wake Forest is one of the newest ones, a Michael Dub horse just coming in. People are really excited to see him. People ask all the time about Green Mask. Green Mask is doing terrific. He's back at the farm, finished all of his, you know, procedures, and he's doing great. A neat story, and probably people in Kentucky will know this better than everybody else, but it's still a cool story. There's a local brewery called Country Boy, and they've been great supporters of Old Friends. And there is a horse by the name of Cougar Bait. You probably remember Cougar Bait.
Yeah.
They have a beer named Cougar Bait.
Yes, they do.
So they have supported this horse.
Uh-huh.
So they paid for the horse to come in for the transportation and everything. And then, you know, Michael's big story is he has a New York bred, and I'll probably butcher the name, but it's Kahara, I believe.
Carafa.
Carafa. And Michael's really excited because this is one of the top turf horses, ran forever in Saratoga. And, you know, that is one of the newest ones coming to the farm. That, and you could probably reflect on this, one of the top three turf horses in New York, according to Michael Blown.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Michael's plan is to have all three of them in the same paddock.
Yeah, that's the goal.
I think so. That's
stand
what,
out there and
that's
drink.
What he told
he
me.
He can stand out there and drink a Cougar Bait and watch him run on the grass.
That's right. Yeah, he's always got something new going on. And you mentioned the people that visit there. My son, who's you know been around horses his whole life and is a cameraman for TVG and when he was here earlier this fall, he said, "Can we go to Old Friends?" He goes, "I've never been to Old Friends." I said, "You've never shot anything out there?" No. I said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." So we hopped in the car. We went out there, and Michael saw us wandering around on the tour and picked us up and said, "Come on, come with me." And we took us all around and gave us kind of a
– It's another guy with a winning smile.
Yeah.
Always has a smile on his face. Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the video. That's one of the things we're doing with Red Brand Fence is we've been shooting a lot of our commercials and spots – at Old Friends, because Old Friends uses a lot of Red Brand. They're using more and more. In fact, Michael's actually one of the biggest advocates, you know, as far as safety and protecting these guys. And it really, you know, is a really, really nice, you know, combination that we have between, you know, the Bafferts and Gary Stevens, Red Brand Fence, and Old Friends. So, you know, we're really blessed. And one of the things we'd be remiss without plugging today is the coverage of the Claiming Crown coming up from 3:30 to 5:30 right here on Sirius XM 219 and 201.
Wow, that was nice. I didn't even have to say it.
Listen live.
You're going to hear trainer Chuck Simon is going to join me as my co-host, and looking forward to that. Chuck's a very outspoken trainer and loves our business and our industry, and he's also a very fine trainer of horses. So it's going to be fun to spend the afternoon with Chuck. We've got a lot of good racing for you. We're going to feature four stakes here from the Claiming Crown, and we'll keep you updated on the races from New York.
All of it presented by Red Brand Fence.
There you go. So for Mark Otto, this is Jude Feld. Thanks to my wife, Gretchen, for producing. Lee Della Pina back in studio. Good night, Barbados.